Rage.
The Monologue.
Two more homicides in Seattle yesterday. They were discovered about an hour apart. Just to give you some context, the 10-year average, the rate for murders is 26. We're at 21 already. We have almost hit the 10-year average, and it's only June. Things are going to get worse. And we're not just seeing more homicides, we're seeing more gun violence, gun injuries, bad guys shooting bad guys shooting innocent people. Yesterday in Mount Baker, the neighborhood, a man was shot and killed. Happened at a bus stop. Witnesses said two men approached the victim, opened fire, striking him multiple times. An hour or so later, out in North Seattle, cops found a possible assault victim on the sidewalk. They end up doing their examination, realize that he has a gun wound. The medical examiner has ruled his death a homicide. This is happening more and more and more often. And we are supposed to pretend that the policies put in place by Democrats, progressives, socialists, here and elsewhere, have nothing to do with it. We don't have enough police officers to proactively police. We don't have enough officers to disincentivize these criminal thugs from shooting and murdering people. Antifa thugs have been out there for months committing acts of violence, and the city sat back and said, it's not all that interesting enough for us to say anything. Meanwhile, they were busy, of course, pushing the defund movement. Although, if you ask the dumbest senator out there, Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, she will tell you they need Democrats defund what, huh?
The fact that we've never taken the position as a party that we should defund the police. I am a progressive Democrat. I have never said that we should defund the police. Huh. Clearly, there are a lot of things that we need to do on the law enforcement side, including, by the way, addressing the rise in domestic violent extremism and the prevalence of gun violence that is occurring on...
You see what she's doing here? She's just pivoting to a whole bunch of other stuff rather than take responsibility. Democrats, we don't support defunding the police. Well, it's not Republicans who are doing it, so tell me who's doing it in New York, cutting $1 billion from the police budget. Tell me who's doing it in Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and Austin. Not Republicans. It is so absurd, the level of crap some of these Democrats are expecting us to take. Listen to this incredibly bad faith and dishonest statement from Joy Behar.
Trump presided over the greatest crime rise in modern American history. The murder rate shot up 26% and mass shootings spiked. Hate crime spiked more than 20% during his presidency. Now, I don't want to lay the whole thing at his feet,
but he did
create 4 years normalizing crime. They consider themselves a law and order party, but all I see is more crime coming out of that administration.
She's such a moron. She's such a bad faith, dishonest ghoul. And she knows it. Idiots buy this. Idiots believe this. Meanwhile, innocent people are getting murdered on the streets because of policies that she backs, that her party backs. And they're changing the law and they are creating their own institutions or systemic policies that just create more and more and more victims every single day. And the only way to defeat this, literally the only thing that we are going to be able to do to change the direction, is to vote every single one of them out of office.
The interview.
The city of Milton is trying to take down a piece of a 9/11 memorial at a city park because one person complained about the inclusion of an angel. The complainant said that that is somehow an unfair endorsement of religion coming from the government, and for some reason, the city of Milton has decided to move forward with threats to pull down a piece of this memorial. Jack Chandler is the man behind this, and he joins me now. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate the work that you've put into getting this memorial up there. When you first heard the threats coming from the city, what went through your mind?
It was a little bit of, you got to be kidding me.
And I ask, why do we have to remove the angel? It is, it doesn't identify any given religion. It's a secular angel of mercy that we have in the Memorial Plaza area. And it doesn't require anyone to stop and say a prayer or anything. It doesn't have any religious connotations whatsoever to any given religion. So, and all religions recognize the angel. So I don't understand what the problem is, other than that the city, I guess, claims that it's been installed without permission or being approved by the city on the original plans. So,
and is that true?
The original plans did not include an angel. It did include silhouettes, and those were left to the discretion of the 9/11 Memorial Committee to establish those silhouettes and put them in place. And it was the overall design of the memorial was approved by the city, give us carte blanche to go ahead and do what we wanted with volunteers and with donated materials. So that's what we did. There wasn't a line item that said that we had to have permission to do anything with the memorial.
What was the intent of the angel? Because I know that you had indicated, or your lawyer had indicated, that it's not even meant in the traditional sense of an angel, the way that some folks think of it. It's more to do with the healthcare workers.
That's correct. Because the location of the angel in the plaza design now is where there was to be a water feature that the city approved on the plans. Well, we eliminated the water feature due to the fact that it's a high maintenance issue, and we didn't want to have a high maintenance issue for the city once we give the plaza, the 9/11 memorial, back to the city. So we installed the angel at the fountain area, what would have been the fountain area, and we're doing blue flowers so that it represents water, which is life after death, and the angel is there to represent the first responders, EMTs, and all the nurses and medical staff that went to the towers on that fateful day.
Do you have any intent on taking the angel down?
No. Our intent is to leave it there for all mankind to see and to witness what we've been able to accomplish and what this memorial represents.
Good.
You know, it's just one person complained to the city, and the city, I guess, just decided to roll over. The city has not come to me as the chairman of the 9/11 Memorial Committee to ask us to sit on a table and find out what we can do to resolve the issues. It's like they came to us with a phone call and a letter that says, you've got until the 1st of July to take it out, or we'll take it out and dispose of it at our discretion.
Yeah, they're, you know, they're cowards.
The bully in the ball game.
100%. Just real quick before we let you go, What do you think this is really about? Do you believe that this is merely about one person complaining, or do you think there's something else going on?
There may be some underlying issues that we're not aware of, but this person has been a complainer from the very beginning of the 9/11 Memorial Project, and back in 2012.
Yeah, Heather Popp is who you're referring to, who apparently is getting ready to potentially run for city council in Milton, which doesn't sound like a good idea. We wish you, of course, Jack, the best of luck here. You did some amazing work. The images and videos that I've seen of the memorial look outstanding. You've done a great service to the community and the memories of the folks who were lost on 9/11, and that the city of Milton is doing this in this way is so utterly pathetic. So we're out here rooting for you, and we're going to do what we can to continue to put some pressure on the city. Jack Chandler, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me, and you're all invited to the dedication ceremony September the 11th at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
Love it, and I hope to see the angel there. Jack, thank you so much.
I'll be there.
Perfect.
Great.
Love it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now this.
The Monologue.
critical race theory is here to stay. If you were to ask any of the activist educators who will ignore the law, ignore the demands of the parents whose kids they supposedly care about, because no matter what it is you do to push back, you're still going to have people who are going to teach CRT, and they're going to try to get away with it. They're going to hope that you don't catch on to what it is they're doing, and it's going to be made easier because they'll be doing it back in the classroom where you don't have access to overhear what's going on. States have banned the teaching of CRT. That includes Florida, Iowa, and Texas. But a teacher who's not been identified yet, in a TikTok video, ranted about how it's not fair that she can't indoctrinate kids with toxic CRT ideology. And she's going to do it anyway.
This is what's bull. Today is the first time our country has recognized Juneteenth as a national holiday. And yet I'm getting ready to go back to school in the fall. And my governor has put into place some ridiculous legislation that many governors across the country have put into place, such as I can't teach anything divisive, I can't teach critical race theory, and I can't teach about racial equity. This is at all public schools, colleges, and universities.
No. Poor thing.
So, teachers, in the past, we've been activists. After the show of last year, we really need to stand up and do what's right for our kids right now. So this is a call to action, teachers. We got to stand up and fight for our kids because this is bullshit. We can't lie to them.
Okay. So, lunatic. And I can't wait until she's identified. You don't get to decide what's best for a kid. You're some random crazy lady. You don't get to decide what is or is not appropriate for someone's child. They're not your kids. Just because you think you are a woke hero that has everyone's interests in mind doesn't mean you're on the right side of this. But let me tell you, there are a lot of people like this out there who are going to take advantage of going back into the classroom. They're going to take advantage of the fact that you no longer will be able to hear what it is they're doing and saying, and teaching, and indoctrinating. She is a believer. Sounds like, assuming this video is legitimate, she sounds like someone who's a true believer. She has consumed the Kool-Aid. She is now a part of the Wokerati. Think that they know what's best for everyone. That her opinion matters more than yours. And it is that kind of selfish, ego-driven personality that will make fighting CRT even harder. And this is why we say, have conversations with your kids so they know what to look out for in the classroom so they can tell you what happened. Later on in the hour, in my last rant, I'm going to give you some specific tips on what you can do to make sure that when this kind of stuff does happen, you're able to call attention to it. But I do think it starts by those conversations, having those conversations with your kids to say this is and is not acceptable to be taught. Make sure if your teacher is doing this, if they mention these kinds of words, if they talk about race, make sure they know to tell you about it. Because it's going to be much harder to track. And these teachers are out there looking to convert your kids.
The interview.
Rather than tackling the Democratic policies causing this surge in crime that we're seeing all across the country, President Joe Biden, again, just blaming guns. And as the nation turns to that issue, you still got activists hoping you're going to ignore their push to get critical race theory into the classrooms and even into our military, which, by the way, makes it seem like a really good idea to remind you that Kim Schreier, the Democrat who's a Seattleite, represents Washington's 8th District. Seattle politics do not belong in Washington's 8th District. And you've got a race coming up with a pair of candidates one we'll be announcing soon. And we have the ability to take this district back. Joining me on the line to discuss all this is Tommy Hicks, co-chair of the RNC. Tommy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jason. Great to be on.
So you're coming back to the area to do some training, to talk to some folks all about not just Washington's 8th, but really people are going to be able to get information on how to take back this state. We've got Tiffany Smiley, who's running up against Patty Murray for Senate. It feels like now's a good time to start making these shifts.
It absolutely is. And, you know, all states are in play right now. The Democrats have radically overestimated their mandate. And we're here to remind people of Washington exactly what's at stake in the 8th Congressional District. And what we have is a Democrat who's voted with Nancy Pelosi 100% of the time and with AOC 93% of the time. And that's way off of kilter of where they should be in representing that district.
100%. I mean, this is not Seattle, and yet it kind of feels like they're being represented by Seattle voices. And we say on the show all the time that Seattle policies have a tendency to spread, and that's exactly what we're seeing now.
Yep, and the American people are waking up, and you're talking about the Joe Biden going after our guns. Last time I checked, we had a Constitution, and we had a Second Amendment, and we're going to keep fighting to make sure that the American people are represented and we can elect people into federal office and state and local office that protect our rights.
Let's talk a little bit about this idea of going after guns that are being illegally sold in some of these cities, which we should be doing that. We should have always been doing that. But that's not really why we're seeing the crime in Democrat-led cities, right?
Well, no, you have activists on the Democrat side, on the left, frankly, who are trying to defund the police. And we know that hurts the people who need police protection the most.
Exactly. And I've made the argument that the defund movement is racist, just using the left's definition of racism as any policy that disproportionately impacts people of color. Well, that's who are being impacted the most. The people who are dying, for example, who are getting shot and killed in this region. Last year, we had a 26-year high homicide rate. 49% of the victims were black. That only makes up black people in Seattle only make up 7% of the population. That's called disproportionality.
It is. And again, the American people are waking up. I just saw a poll this morning. You know, the numbers are overwhelming for Republicans and Republican candidates across the country. With independents, with our base, people know exactly what's at stake going into the midterms. We absolutely have to have control and hopefully the Senate in order to stop this radical agenda that's taking place all across the country.
Yeah, and on that issue, we're seeing lots of parents getting way more upset and passionate and involved when it comes to critical race theory. We're already seeing the Democrats starting to shift the conversation, pretending that these parents just want to ban the teaching of slavery. And that's obviously not at all what these parents are upset about.
Well, look, I've got three young girls, and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to brainwash my kids into thinking when they can't even match their own clothes yet is just shocking. And so I think you're seeing people across the country start to get involved with their local and state races, running for school boards, and we're encouraging that. You have to get involved. You can't assume that your friend or your neighbor is going to do it for you. You've got to get involved, and we're going to try to encourage that.
How bullish are you in Washington's 8th District with Kim Schreier losing this time around?
Well, very bullish based on her track record. And it sounds like we have two really strong candidates running against her, and really looking forward to being with them next week.
Yeah, we're pumped to have you. We could use some of the resources here in Washington State. Folks on the left are going to be probably pouring a lot of money again into Washington's 8th District to try to retain that seat. I imagine they realize that she's so vulnerable. Tommy Hicks is the co-chair of the RNC. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And all states are in play right now.
Love it. All states in play. Now this.
The
The Jason Rantz Show.
Always glad to see Seattle radio host Jason Rantz.
It's always a pleasure to watch you and a pleasure now to host you.
Jason, I just love your coverage of what's been going on in Seattle.
Jason, this is as bad as it gets in America.
Jason Rantz, great to see you. Thank you.
Long Form, presented by Northgate Rare Coins and Precious Metals.
Major League Baseball decided to change up some of the rules as to how it deals with cheating pitchers. If they've got any of the sticky stuff on them, they could be, at this point, it feels like strip searched out in front of all the people watching, the entire crowd. And last night, it got a little bit controversial and a little bit heated. Joining me in studio, socially distanced, not really, is Paul Gallant from 710 ESPN Seattle. So last night, the Nats were playing the Phillies.
Correct.
And at one point, the opposing team's coach decided
Joe
to
Girardi.
Call into question whether or not the pitcher, who, how many Cy Youngs has he won? Three, at least?
He's won enough.
This is a very talented pitcher, although maybe he was cheating the entire time. Calls him out saying that maybe he has some of the sticky stuff. Take it from there.
He starts tapping his hat. And then what we end up seeing, Jason, are essentially not one, not two, but three, we're going to pull you aside at TSA pat-downs in the midst of the diamond. Max Scherzer is somebody who is going to give you that look if you cross him. And what's funny is, after the third one, Scherzer was ticked off and stared Joe Girardi down. Joe Girardi gets upset that he's being stared down, bolts out of the dugout, and he gets ejected from the game while Max Scherzer from the dugout is trolling him, holding his hand up, holding his glove up. It's gotten ridiculous, Jason. There was another moment last night where Sergio Romo, a reliever for the Oakland A's, dropped his pants. And I think it was just a method of protest to show how ridiculous things have gotten. But really what's gotten ridiculous is that baseball, they decided that this wasn't a problem until all of a sudden, just now, in the middle of a season, it is.
So what is the rule as it currently stands?
The rule as it currently stands is the same rule that it always has been. If you doctor a baseball, you will be suspended for 10 games. They just did not enforce it at all. And it's weird. I mean, if you go back in time, there have been a lot of
pitchers of this,
you use spitball. You might have used tobacco and put it on the ball. And sometimes it was enforced, and then there'd be an extra era of enforcing. So you kind of go through these cyclical times in baseball. But the problem this year, Jason, is that pitching has gotten so good that no hitters are no longer an accomplishment. That used to be amazing to see a no-hitter. I mean, shoot, we've almost seen the Mariners get no-hits several times, and it might not just be because their lineup isn't that good. It might be because the baseballs are being put on, lathered with these potions, essentially, called spider tack, or it's a mixture of resin and sunscreen and all sorts of things. And it's really going to be hard for umpires to actually police this without legitimately patting these guys down before they go out to the mound.
Which is almost what they did last night.
Yeah.
The problem I have with the sudden enforcement here is, number one, the first time you pat the guy down and there's no cheating should be the end of this discussion. Unless you happen to directly see something, not I suspect it because he's doing too well. Number two, a second time should only come in extreme circumstances. And then number three, the opposing coach, the manager, calling this out in the middle of an inning seems to be a huge, huge loophole. What's to say then you're in the middle of a game, bases are loaded, you need to get just a hit, get one run in and win the game, to call, say, oh no, I think the pitcher is, you can, it's so ridiculous.
I kind of like it, though.
No, it's awful.
You're standing
like
for the pitchers.
I'm standing for just basic fairness. In the NFL, you have the rag you throw in for the one challenge play?
The challenge flag.
The challenge flag. Give that maybe once to a coach. But if you throw that rag in there, you get that flag up there, and it turns out to be nonsense, you should pay some kind of penalty so we can at least disincentivize the other team from trying to get in the player's head. That's an abuse.
I'm with you there. I still
ridiculous.
I find it funny because I like chaos. But I
yes,
mean,
it's very funny. I'm not saying that.
Are you that surprised that baseball, you know, and I know that there's been conversation about certain all-star games moving, is the most poorly run of all sports leagues? This is something that they're figuring out on the fly. And it's interesting that they are figuring things out on the fly. It was a very controversial pitcher in baseball. He now pitches for the Los Angeles Dodgers. His name is Trevor Bauer. He is an expert internet troll. He has for years been saying that this is something that happens. I actually used to work in Houston, and I covered the Houston Astros, and it is interesting. There is an ability that now you have via StatCast, which is this you know, stat device that helps out if you're watching a baseball game. You can see the exit velocity of baseballs, but you can also see the spin rate of baseballs. And a lot of people went to Houston, and all of a sudden, the spin rate, it picked up. Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton, amongst other pitchers. And Trevor Bauer called them out for it. But what's funny is Trevor Bauer probably has also developed his own way of joining in on the club. And he was very public in talking about it and saying, hey, look, this is something that's going on in baseball. Baseball decided to wait until midseason in a year where hitting is not working to actually address this problem. And it just goes to show you that in baseball, cheating is actually okay. They do not mind it unless it becomes a giant controversy that is brought up in front of the entire world, whether it's steroids, the Astros sign stealing scandal, or this.
Paul Gallant joining me in studio from 710 ESPN Seattle. What was the impetus for this right now in the middle? Was it just the fact that people weren't hitting?
Right. And look, the game has gotten to a point.
Why not make the bats bigger?
Well, that could work, honestly.
No, I'm being serious. I mean, make the bats bigger, if that's your concern. Because unless you had proof that there was active cheating going on, it doesn't make sense to me to do it mid-season.
Especially when, per one of the reports that came out, 80 to 90% of the pitchers are doing it. And that's why they're having a big time. That's why they're all throwing a hissy fit. I mean, one guy who is going to have Tommy John surgery, Tyler Glasnow, he is blaming it on the fact that he can't cheat anymore. You know, he's blaming his injury on that. So to an extent, I understand it. It's weird to make the rule change now. This is something you should do before the season. It is funny to watch them fall over themselves along the way, though. Rob Manfred, man, that guy is just a terrible commissioner.
Have players, non-pitchers, have they been complaining?
I'm sure some batters have been.
But publicly, I haven't heard that. This seems like a kind of a new storyline, at least.
This is the weird
in the media.
This is the weird thing about baseball. They love to keep everything on the down low.
Well, because they're also cheating, probably. Mm-hmm. They're taking some steroid or doing something.
You know,
everyone's cheating, is it actually cheating at that point?
I
asked that legitimately. If everyone is cheating, except for the Mariners, because if they were cheating, they'd have a better record.
They're doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, fair enough. But if everyone were cheating, or the cheating was pretty expansive across the league, meaning it touches pretty much every single team, that's no longer cheating. That's now the league.
That's the entire steroid era.
Yeah.
I mean,
if everyone's doing it, then it actually has evened out the playing field.
Exactly. And that's the shameful thing, because there were guys in the steroid era. I think there are less guys in the steroid era who actually weren't participating, but there's others who felt like, all right, well, I mean, if I'm going to make a livelihood for me, my family, all of those things, I have to do this, mm-hmm. because if I don't do this, all these other guys are just going to be stronger and more powerful than me. And it's just the way that the game has always been. And, you know, I was watching, Jason, this documentary on Netflix. It's very interesting if you guys like baseball. It's about a baseball team in Portland. Kurt Russell's dad actually founded it. Kurt Russell played for it. It's called The Battered Bastards of Baseball. And it just goes to show you, Jim Bowden wrote this book exposing all of baseball's dirty little secrets. And all of baseball essentially blackballed him. If you let any of these secrets out, they get mad at you. And it's interesting to see just the way that they've handled, whether it's the Astros sign stealing scandal last mm-hmm. year or just this year, how they do a really good job of, once the initial story comes out, everyone just zips their lips. So I am curious to know how many batters are actually frustrated about it, but you really haven't heard a lot of it.
I like my idea. Just make the bat bigger.
Make the bat bigger, make the ball bigger, move the mound
back.
Then
that's softball.
That's true.
Pitchers have to throw underhand now.
Honestly, I'm impressed by how fast softball pitchers can throw a ball underhand.
Stop it. This is KT. You don't have to be woke here. That's nonsense. Oh, yeah, softball's a sport. No, it's not. It's a hobby. It's a hobby for people who can't play baseball. Let's stop this nonsense. If our fathers can play it,
oh, well, that's beer league. That's beer league softball.
Softball. Softball. There's no difference.
To be able to do that underhanded, I seriously think it is impressive. Now, that said, I like baseball better.
When I was a pitcher in my high school days, I almost threw underhand because I was a side arm pitcher. And that's how I got all of my speed.
Submariner? Nice.
Yep.
Submariners look cool. In my terrible pitching days, I tried to do it, but not because it actually was good. I just thought it looked cool, and that's when I played baseball.
It does look cool, you're not good at it.
Right, exactly. I tried to copy everyone's stances. I tried to copy everyone's windups. Didn't work out so well. I'm clearly not playing professional baseball.
Clearly.
Well, don't say it like that.
He's a host on 710 ESPN Seattle. Make sure you check out that show. Thank you so much for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Jason.
And now this.
The Jason Rant Show.
Jason Rants, Seattle radio host, joins us now.
Jason, you're the perfect guest on this.
Jason Rants, welcome back, Jason.
I see you often on other programs here.
Jason, what's going on?
Jason, thanks for coming on.
The Quick Hit.
This is a pretty outrageous story out of Seattle where, yet again, we have a teacher who was allegedly caught doing something that the teacher should not have done. And in the grand scheme of things, as I look over this story that's an exclusive on the show, I'm not necessarily outraged in the moment. I am more concerned about the lack of judgment that seems to be shown right here on display by yet another teacher who's taking care of kids. In this case, we've got a middle school teacher who was caught playing vulgar, inappropriate music to his students, according to a source. And apparently, the source says this wasn't the first time, and at least one family has complained. Now, the teacher, his name is Matthew Kirschman. He's a language arts teacher over at Jane Addams Middle School out in North Seattle. And he plays music for students as they're either working or maybe transitioning between classes. And it's a meaningful gesture on paper, right? This is all about getting kids comfortable and maybe even just a little bit entertained, maybe bringing down their stress levels a little bit. And yes, it's about making it fun. He wants to be the cool teacher, I imagine. Unfortunately, in practice, it shows that lack of judgment. Now, according to a source who recorded this incident on cell phone, the music selected in the last several weeks has become more and more caustic and vulgar leading into this particular incident. Now, the video that was recorded is available right now at KTTH.com or text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. We usually embed, but this one was so vulgar, we just gave you a link that you can click and you can go over to the YouTube page to check it out. So text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Now, in the secretly recorded cell phone video, it shows a remote class session from May. And students were apparently readying for class on why classic stories like Cinderella and others have been retold many times. This, at least according to the information on the screen. Now, before the class started, the teacher decided to play at least one song that we know of. It's called Rat by independent singer-songwriter Penelope Scott. She lacks all discernible talent. She's awful. And she said this song was inspired by Elon Musk memes, and she described the song as a breakup letter to what she calls the tech cult in Silicon Valley. And like most breakups, this one was emotional for Scott, which is probably why she decided to drop so many F-bombs.
Makes me want to cry, you dumb b-. I loved you, I loved you, I loved you.
It's annoyingly catchy, though.
To be you and do what you do. I lived here, I loved here, I bought it, it's true, I'm so embarrassed. I feel abused.
Uh-oh, it's going to get bad, isn't it?
I want to eat the rich, I'd have to eat my heroes first, and my tuition's paid by blood.
Okay.
So when I speak, you bet your life my words are true.
Okay, is that it, or is it going to get worse?
With you, man, is someone guilty of the game? I took the help, I took the cash, I would have taken your last name. So if any girl on earth should get to make a call about this, it should be me. And as I see it, you're a
okay.
So your tunnels,
oh my gosh.
Your rockets, your cars again. Promise you'd be Tesla, but you're just another Edison. Because Tesla broke a patent, all you ever broke were hearts. I can't believe you tore humanity apart. Same machines that could have been our brand new start. And the worst part is I loved you, I loved you, I loved you, it's true. And sometimes I feel like
this is not a good song.
Do. I lived here, I loved here, I bought
about it. It's true. I'm so embarrassed. I feel abused.
Yeah. You know who else feels abused? Anyone who has a respect for music. That was awful. And yet, this teacher, despite all of those F-bombs and other language that we bleeped, he didn't bleep, we bleeped it, he decided that this was okay to play. Now, normally I would just say, well, maybe he didn't realize it was so vulgar, he just sort of picked it. Maybe he left the room as it was playing, he had to use the restroom or something, and he was just playing this in the background. But according to a source, the teacher has repeatedly played vulgar music like this to students. Now, I reached out multiple times to the Seattle Public School District. They did not respond to any of my requests. The teacher nor the principal responded to my request. I truly wish that they had. I was hoping that at the bare minimum, they would come back and say it was a mistake. Sorry, we didn't intend to do it. Or maybe the music was chosen by someone else. Maybe a hacker ended up putting in a rogue playlist. Literally anything. But they didn't. So I'm inclined to believe this particular source. And I think it's alarming. What reasonable person would find this appropriate for middle schoolers? Obviously, you wouldn't be showing an R-rated film in class. So shouldn't you be smart enough to not play R-rated music in class? Is he just trying to be the cool language arts teacher? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a cool language arts teacher. And some of you might say this is probably a small issue. In the grand scheme of things, Jason, what you've covered in the past, what you've covered this week, especially as it relates to CRT, way more important. And normally I would say, yes, I agree. On the grand scheme of things, if we're comparing this one instance to another instance, the other ones would almost certainly win. Because so many kids right now are already being exposed to this kind of language, right? And they probably listen to this right now on Spotify. But that's not really the point of this story, is that teachers are trusted to use sound judgment when taking care of other people's children. And if you can't trust a teacher to put together an appropriate playlist, well, what else are they being exposed to in the classroom? What other content? What other R-rated stuff? Maybe it would get political. Because the fact of the matter is, you will not know everything that is going on in your kid's classroom the way you did in the last year, because we're going away from the remote learning situation. We're going away from that. So we got to figure this out. Because there's a lot on the line. And I think that this is, just from a lack of judgment perspective, I think this is a serious issue. So please text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. And I'll send you a link to the story so you can read it, watch the video, post it all on social media.
The Last Rants.
And with that, I have some advice for folks. Because all too often this stuff is happening and there's not really a record of it. You guys need to make sure you are prepared at any given moment to document what's happening. If you can safely and legally do it, you record. If you see it online somewhere, you take screenshots. You print it out. If some of this stuff is happening and you're not in a position to screenshot or film it, take notes. We have to document this stuff, because right now there are a lot of folks on the right or on the left that are pretending that none of this is actually happening, that this is a figment of the imaginations of all the conservatives. It's not happening, no way, no how. Now, of course, you and I know that is nonsense. We know it's happening because of the people who smartly and quickly were able to record some of these instances. So make sure you find yourself, when you find yourself, in positions where you can expose some of this very clearly outrageous content. You're documenting. And then obviously you send it to me so I can do stories on it. And that's the Last Rants.